Welcome to the last part of my interview with Lavelle Smith Jr., featured dancer, choreographer, and friend of Michael Jackson for 23 years. In this episode, we get down to the nitty-gritty. What were Lavelle's thoughts on the allegations? After all, he was with MJ through both situations, literally standing beside Michael when he met both of his two recent accusers. More importantly, what were Mike's feelings during that time? For the first time, we get to find out from one of his friends. Take a listen. Okay, so let me take you back a little bit, because we went through. So with the time that you've been with him, 23 years, that means that you were around, even I think when the first allegation with Jordy Chandler, when that happened, or were you?
I guess when you know someone the way I knew him, it's like you hear it, but you know in your mind, at least in your mind or your heart, you're like, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where it ended with me. That's ridiculous. But what I didn't take into consideration is that justice is not always done. And truth is not always upheld or recognized. I just kind of took that for granted. But I know that knowing him the way I did, I was like, well, that's ridiculous. It'll be solved. Boom. But I was with him. I don't know which one. I was in Vegas with him. And we were working on, this might have been the second time. And we were in Vegas, and we had shot all night in the desert. And I went back to my hotel, and he went back to his hotel or house, wherever he was staying. I think he was at the same hotel then. And then I turn on the TV, and I see them. I'm trying to think. They all kind of been together. I think this is the one where I see him leaving Vegas. Uh-huh. And going to L.A., and then getting to L.A., being handcuffed and taken, and yeah.
Oh, wow.
We had been shooting. It was just, yeah. It was not a, it was, you know how things are happening, and you're like, okay, how do we get here? How do we get from last night to this moment?
Right.
Because in my mind, everything, if you're telling the truth, it's, you know, everything is going to work out fine. But it wasn't about that. I didn't take into consideration that
America
justice is not just.
Yeah, America's not known for its justice when you look a certain way. So.
Yeah, and I knew that for me, Lavelle Smith Jr.,
right.
Yeah, justice could be crappy. Uh-huh. I'm the guy who was driving through Beverly Hills and gets pulled over.
Right.
You know, then you see that I own my car and that, you know, this is my car and it's not, so I'm 21 years old. Like, wow, okay. So, yes, for Lavelle Smith Jr., yes, I know these things can happen. But for a megastar and somebody who's been around, you know, forever, I just thought, no, these things don't happen. But that was a wake-up call for me. That was a big wake-up call.
Yeah, that exactly. I know. I think it was one for a lot of people because, you know, when you look at someone, I mean, let's just take it on face value, just on fame alone, someone who's just that famous and being subjugated like he was, that was one thing. But then when you look at the money aspect and you think that at least, if nothing else, you know, that right. should make yeah. a little difference. And
exactly. But at the time, I didn't realize that the money is the reason.
Exactly.
So, that he's there, and that people want your money. You know, those things never occurred to me a lot. As like I say, that whole experience for him was, I'm sure, a nightmare and so painful. But for me, it was a big wake-up call. if it can happen to him, I can't imagine what they could do to me.
Exactly. Exactly.
If they wanted to, you know.
Did he ever talk about that, like the fact that he knew that this was about his money? This wasn't about, to me, I felt like, let me just say this. I felt like not only was it about his money, it was about his power. When you think about a man who can
have. I know, and I agree with you on that, but no, we never talked about it along those lines. He just always referenced how painful it was.
Oh, wow.
How painful it was and how much it hurt and things like that. But no, we never got into, you know, what it was for. I mean, I think we both knew what, you know, what it was about.
Yeah.
But we didn't talk about that, but we did talk about how painful and humiliating and along those lines, just how, you know, it's devastating when something like that happens to somebody.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember being in Atlanta, Georgia in the 90s, I think right before the Dangerous Tour, I was there. I think it's second leg of the Famous Tour, set, but going to Europe or whatever. I was there, you know, visiting a friend, doing a job there. And I got robbed at gunpoint.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I was in Buckhead. I mean, you know.
Yeah, Buckhead. Yeah.
Outside my friend's condo. Nice area. You know, like, you know, then again, I thought, well, where do crooks go to rob people? They're not going to go, you know.
Right.
To the poor part of town, they're going to go where they think people have money. Anyway, got robbed. And I just remember how that made me feel. It made me feel scared. And, you know, you think everybody's a robber now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, multiply that times a thousand. What if, you know, what that must feel like to have just your civil liberties just damaged like that. I mean, for me, that was a small level. But when people make you strip naked and they want to take pictures of your private and they want to handcuff you and walk you, you know, make you do a perp walk, that has to be demoralizing. That has to be so. I mean, thank God he's a strong man, but even the strongest of men, I mean, that is, that's just, it's got to cut. It's got to cut so deep that we probably can't even understand.
Oh, I think honestly for me that I blame, because I always say we in terms of society killed him, because I think that the pressure that he had to be under, you know, I was saying that after the Neverland documentary came out, I started to do this research. And in the research, it's just, I found out that his house had been raided by both the police department and I think CPS had come in unannounced. But this had happened like on, I think, about 10 different occasions throughout several years.
And that's why Neverland became that kind of place that you just didn't want it. Didn't want to go, didn't want to be there. It had lost all of its joy and magic and wonder, because that's what he would think about when, you know, if those raids, that, I mean, I think the first one would be enough to change how beautiful a place that held in his heart, you know, that would just destroy it all. That's just sad. I didn't know 10 times.
Yeah, it was something like 10 times. But not only that, the FBI had him under investigation for 10 straight years. And then they wrote a 300-page document that said, we didn't find anything, but we did find he was being extorted.
Ooh.
So.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so it's like, if you know, if you have all of this kinds of evidence, it's crazy that fast forward, these people are doing a documentary that tries to say that he was guilty.
Only because he's dead. If he were alive, they wouldn't.
No, yeah, if he were alive, they would not have done it.
They wouldn't. So that tells you everything you need to know. If he were alive, they wouldn't be doing it.
Absolutely. And that's what really pissed me off.
It's easy to do that too. I mean, France has this great law that I didn't even know about until because of, you know, the Michael thing. You can't defame or, you know, dead people. You can't do certain things exactly. After a person's dead to, you know, besmirch their character or whatever. That I think, you know, America would never do that because I think a lot of news organizations would probably go out of business. I mean, you can't talk about the dead in a certain way, but yeah, I thought that was a great law to have. You know, I guess it's probably, I don't understand the law completely there, but it's nice to know you can't be degraded after you're dead. You can't defend yourself. I mean, how right is it to be able to come after someone after they're dead?
It
seems really easy. It seems like an easy thing to do. I'm surprised more people don't do that. Or maybe I'm wrong and they do. I don't know.
You know, it's horrendous. I don't know. I just thought it was a new low that they would try to, you know, 10 years after he's dead, and now all of a sudden he can't. You know, I'm sure he's resting in peace, but in my mind, like, you still won't leave him alone. Like, that video, why don't you just leave me alone?
Right.
It's like the poor man, like, 10 years later, that is still relevant. That,
yeah,
you know, that,
it
like.
Will be, yeah, that could definitely be a theme song for his life. Yeah, that's 10 years after and still.
Yeah. Wow. So you were there when he met Wade Robson and Safechuck. I never remember his first name.
Australia. Yeah.
So was there anything memorable about that first meeting or,
I thought he was a talented little dancer. I thought, how cute, you know, dressed in his little outfit and dancing. Yeah.
And so over time he just kind of became, a part of, I want to say the act, the show.
I wouldn't say no. I wouldn't say that. You became a part of the show, but I know they probably. I think they saw a lot of shows for sure. Yeah.
Okay. So Sheryl Crow, after the documentary, said, "Oh well, I saw these kids, and I thought there was something." You know, I thought there was something to it, but you know, shame on me that I never investigated. Which I'm not going to tell you all the expletives I said, because my thing is, if you thought something was going on, it was your obligation. I don't care what opportunity you were given.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I said the same thing in my documentary. If I had thought for 1 minute something was going on, I'd be the first one to call the police. But I mean, what she's saying just sounds like a search for relevance.
Yeah, I think everybody kind of jumped on that bandwagon, like when the doc came out. And I'm not going to keep talking about the doc.
Really? Somebody else, you're the second person that's told me that she said that. I didn't read it or hear it anywhere. That's sad, though. I mean, you know, that's just, yeah. What does that say about her? If you thought it and you did nothing, what's that make you?
Well, that's what I said about Oprah. You know, people can love her like they do, and this is my first time publicly saying what I'm about to say, but I said that when he was alive, she had every opportunity to get the first person who, the Jordy Chandler guy, to try to get him on the show. Or, you know, anybody else, she had an opportunity to give them her platform if she thought he had done something inappropriate. She had every opportunity to use her platform if she thought he had done anything inappropriate. She didn't. So even though she got on that documentary and said, I'm not saying he's guilty, I'm just saying that this can happen. You know, anybody can be predatory. That was her disclaimer. But the mere fact that she was there gave the whole documentary this level of credence that it would not have had prior.
Which is dangerous. It's very dangerous.
Absolutely.
And she's right. Yeah, anyone can. Mm-hmm. Anyone can be. Mm-hmm. It's true. But like you say, when you have the opportunity to really dig deep and you have the biggest platform in the world to do that and get all sides, why don't you do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's take it back to Mike and all this positivity. So Neverland, he would have, I heard, children, buses of, you know, inner city kids actually come to the ranch. And that was one of the purposes. He wanted to provide them a place where they could just get away and smell some fresh air and, you know, have fun and take their mind off of whatever was happening. Right.
Yeah, I think those are awesome times. And, you know, I would wake up and open the door and I would smell barbecue. So I always knew when it was one of those days where, you know, a lot of kids are going to come and get to enjoy. Because he'd always, you know, they'd always make barbecue and they'd be on the rides, watching movies. Yeah.
Did you?
I thought that was really amazing.
Did you live on the ranch?
No, I mean, I was there for sometimes weeks at a time, but I never lived there. But yeah, weeks at a time, sometimes being there creating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What do you think the greatest lesson, what's the greatest lesson that Michael taught you?
Oh, gosh, there's so many. I mean, I think, obviously, about creativity, and it can come from anywhere. You can be inspired by anything and anyone. And also that this is show business, but it's also the business of show.
Right.
So he always said to me, because I worked with other artists, you know, when I was working with him, and mm-hmm. he'd always say, people can never pay you what you're worth, LaBelle, but don't ever let them insult you.
Oh, wow.
You know, with what they're paying you. Yeah.
Oh,
he
wow.
never asked me not to work with anybody at all. He never, ever asked me that, but he just wanted me to be smart about it.
And get your money.
I mean, it's funny I say that now because, I mean, when he died, I mean, his estate owes me, you know, over $100,000 for a job that I did in 2008. I was in Vegas for 6 months working with him.
Oh, wow.
And they still, yeah, they said, give us 10 years. So it's been 10 years and they still haven't paid me. But I just always think if he were alive, man, it would not be good. One time there was, I was working with him and I hadn't been paid yet for some job. He said, what's wrong? I guess his shoulder on my face or something. What's wrong? And I said, oh, well, I haven't got my check for blah, blah, blah job. He's like, what? Got on the phone and it was messenger within an hour.
Wow.
And so it just makes me think, if he were alive, I would have been paid already.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I don't know. People are, yeah, but it sticks out in my mind. It's the business of show. So.
Well, you know, so you got to witness, because I've always heard that he was a shrewd businessman. And that
very good.
He.
Very, very, very good. Yeah.
Wow.
Very good. You know, and very and unassuming. Excuse mm-hmm. me. Very unassuming.
Mm-hmm.
No bluster. No arrogance. Just boom. This is what I want. This is what it is. And yeah.
Wow.
Very calm. Very calm. At least from what I had seen.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, LaBelle, I could absolutely talk to you for hours. I could talk your ear off. I could, you know, pick your brain. I cannot wait until your book comes out. I'm sure it will come together, or if you do a documentary, I'm sure. I mean, you have 1,000+ stories that we will all love to hear.
I do, and I got to get them out, and I really want this, yeah, so I gotta figure out the best way to do it.
Yeah, because we need to hear them
both. But yeah, I do need some guidance on that.
Yeah, we definitely we want to hear them. We need to hear them. I think the more that we hear them, the more that we actually get to know who he really was in terms of Michael Jackson. And kind of, you know, put the shine back on his legacy, because I think that what happened to him was horrific, as far as I'm concerned.
It's crazy. And, yeah, because there's so much, I mean, it far outweighs the good. But, you know, as humans, people are attracted to negative stories. I mean,
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah.
That kind of stuff that kind of sticks sometimes more than the good stories, I guess. But we can change that. You're doing it, and I appreciate what you're doing. I really do with all my heart. You're doing it, and you inspired me to do more. So thank you for that. And I could talk to you all day, too. You ask great questions. You seem like a woman that knows what she's doing. You do your homework. And, you can't ask for better than that. But just keep doing what you're doing. And you're inspiring me. And I just say thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much. Thanks to Lavelle for taking the time to speak with me and allowing me to ask him about anything. I'm sure talking about a treasured friend that's passed can't be easy, especially when even in death, his friend's name is being besmirched. And yet, much like MJ, Lavelle has responded with class, grace, and dignity when setting the record straight. I can't wait until his book comes out so we can read about some of those good times he had with MJ and hear more about lessons he learned from him. Hint, hint, hint. Get to writing, sir. We're waiting. In the meantime, if you haven't already checked out his documentary, Man Behind the Dance, at manbehindthedance.com, go check it out. I'm your host, Deanna. Unfortunately, not Dirty Diana, but close enough. Peace. So you can check us out at mjallday.thepodcast on Facebook and mjallday-thepodcast on Twitter. You can also email me at dthevip@gmail.com. That's dthevip@gmail.com. And tell me all of your MJ stories.
Beneath the Eiffel Tower, in Ghana's Black Star Square, in Johannesburg and in Pittsburgh, in Birmingham, Alabama, and Birmingham, England, we are missing Michael. But we do know that we had him. And we are the world.